There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Happy New Year. And welcome once again to Strange Planet. And on this episode, predictions for the upcoming year 2023. And we're going to do that with a good friend of the program and a good friend of mine. He is, of course, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, best known as a trance clairvoyant, a spiritual healer, teacher, and published author, who demonstrates many abilities studied by noetic sciences. That's the study of consciousness, including clairvoyance, telepathy, energy healing, remote viewing, prediction, and prophecy. And he is one of a select few able to demonstrate all of these abilities, and even fewer who are considered a reliable information source. He teaches people the world over about spiritual development through the practice of meditation and the application of spiritual principles in daily life. Douglas, Happy New Year. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. And, you know, here I am at 73 years of age, and we've been kicking this can for a long time, you and I, on radio. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, my friend.
I'm thinking it's this year, it's pretty close to 30 years that we've known each other. We met before I had my own show I was producing, but it's been about 30 years, I think, since we first met.
Seems like yesterday we were at St. Clair and Yonge Street there, talking about things, late night radio. I remember.
Before we get rolling on the predictions, I will refer people to your website, douglasjamescottrell.com. And of course, just check the episode notes. There's a link right there you can click. Let's talk a little bit about your upcoming Hope Conference, which is happening in February in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
That's right. At this time in my life, we're changing courses, or the course of my life, and it's being more towards the spiritual development and more preaching, if you will, Christianity for the 21st century. And so we have a conference starting in Fort Worth, Dallas. We'll be going to Arizona, then we're going to Los Angeles, We'll be in different places. I've even been invited to Dubai. That's in the works out there. And of course, I've been in different places, as you know, in Spain many, many times, Norway, Buenos Aires. And so I'm starting back out on the path, if you will. So in Texas, for people who want to come and be part of a conference, we have the acronym HOPE, and we've recently decided to change it as the Heavenly Organization that prepares everyone. Most of my life and what we're going to talk about today is in preparing people about what's coming. You know, my spiritual beliefs are based on the book of Corinthians, and in that book it tells us about spiritual gifts, in particular prophecy, and to be prophetic as the greatest gift because it helps everyone. And when you have these abilities, whether it's dreams or meditations or whatever intuitive abilities you have, it's a benefit to everyone when you forecast what's going on. And so we're going to take more of a formal path that way and start this program. And people want to go there. It's a banner on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you can sign up for the first week in February. But we're going to be adding and modifying that link. Just recently, we have an organization started as a nonprofit in Texas, and I'm going to be there. So in preparing the people for the future, we're going to teach people how to do that. And we have been on your show many times teaching you how to see the future, remote view, and use your spiritual gifts, which you've done remarkably well, over the air while you're conducting a radio show, you know, talking to people on the show and doing all the things it takes to be a host, which is an enormous amount of responsibility. And still you're able to cut through that intellectual mind and come up with the spiritual insights of being able to see things at a distance, which people go back and prove it on air. You did it. And so we're in this next stage of teaching people how to do these things, but more importantly, taking it as to a spirituality, Christianity for the 21st century. And I've been reading the Bible more these days, and I've been coming up with different interpretations of the teachings of the Christ and how they relate to what I do and what I should be doing and what the people should be hearing. And most importantly, for a prediction today or a revelation or announcement on your show, Jesus the Christ has been appearing to a lot of people. A lot of people these days. He's appeared to me in the past and encouraged me in my work, as well as the Holy Family has. I've been in the Lady of Guadalupe Basilica. I've been in Montreal at Brother Andre's Basilica. I've been in many churches and temples all over the world, all Catholic in nature. And I was baptized in the United Church. So my wife and family and her family were all Catholics. And so here we going down this path. But people out there right now, Have you had a vision of Jesus the Christ? Have you had a vision of the Holy Family? Which means, Richard, something really big is going on. Why are these appearances taking place? Part of the show today, because such bad times are coming, or such changing times are coming. We'll talk a little bit about them. Is that this is a preparation? You know, is the second coming going to happen? I think so. And matter of fact, I think I'm helping to prepare the way myself and many others, perhaps.
But so you believe we're heading into the end times, the tribulation, Jacob's troubles.
We're here, yeah. If you look back just a few years, you know, we've been talking about things on your show and my own show, which I call the Global Village. It's a smaller radio than yours, of course, more like a podcast. And also my podcast, Wake Up, which is done more like infrequently, but we've been talking about these things. And if you look back and you see the path with on your show and on Coast to Coast, I've announced the flooding in the world. I've announced the oceans warming up years ago to 4 degrees Celsius when other people are saying that's impossible. We're here. The ice caps are melting. The planet is tilting backwards, which I have predicted on your show before. The Inuit in Norway have announced, I think it was last year, that the stars are moving south, which means the planet is tilting back or going north, which means that the jet stream and all the weather patterns have changed. And have you noticed, my friends, the weather used to come from the Yukon and used to go down underneath Hudson's Bay and out the East Coast in North America. Now it's coming from Alaska straight down towards Florida. The jet stream has stepped back, which means the weather patterns have changed, which is why we have all these droughts and these calamities with fire, plus all the flooding.
But you have said many times, it's not carbon dioxide into the atmosphere that's responsible. It is the inner core is spinning independently of the crust and heating everything up.
It's the integrity. It's like an orange. The shell is the peel of the orange, and the core of the Earth is turning at a slower rate, and that's causing huge frictions. I'm not a geologist. I don't know what's going on, you know, technically, but I do know from my insight that I was given that as a vision, and that is what's heating up the oceans, and the oceans heating up is what's changing the weather pattern. Doesn't matter, carbon, the greenhouse effect, that doesn't matter. It's the oceans that are heating up, which are changing the temperature of the air, which is causing also the masses of air to change or move at a different place because of the temperature in the water is affecting the air currents, which means also that as the planet continues to melt the ice and as there are continued ruptures in the volcanic activity and the earthquakes, the crust is coming up, which is going to increase the flooding, which means that the planet can tip. It can tip over somewhere between 15 and 25 degrees. Already the equator is pulsing. Nobody knows why. It's the center of the Earth is actually expanding and contracting. Why? Okay, take anything that goes in and out, back in a bridge, a tin can, you keep going back and forth. What happened? It fractures.
The stress eventually will fracture it.
And that's why we're having more earthquakes. Look out in Wyoming. Look out for that Madrid fault that's going from almost up to Mississippi in the middle of America. Look out for Mount Vesuvius and Mount Etna. And in Indonesia, the volcanoes that are going off right now, I think there's half a dozen volcanoes going off, never mind what's going on in Hawaii. So this is all happening from the bottom up. This is why the crust is going to split, crack. Mountain ranges are going to fall down, and other mountain ranges are going to come up. And, you know, the flooding is just, well, it's all over the world. Everybody's talking about it in a sort of secondary way. We're going to talk about COVID. We're going to talk about Ukraine. And I'm worried. On your show, I announced that there was going to be a possible explosion of a nuclear reactor in Russia or the Ukraine. The vision I had, I couldn't read the language in the clouds. And then it came a close call, and we were on the air, and you asked me, was that possibly that it almost happened? And I said, well, I don't know. When I have a vision, it usually comes true. Well, we're not over yet.
This was back a year ago in February, just after Russia invaded Ukraine, and you had this vision. And there were bodies in the streets, but no one would touch them.
That's two visions. That's the second one I had.
That was the second one, but that you suspect it had to do with radioactivity.
Activity. That's right. The first vision was prior to the invasion, where I saw men and women shooting at a soldier all in green, the same green uniforms that the Russians wear. The Russians' uniforms, combat uniforms, are different than anybody else. And then I saw this big cement place, building blow up, black clouds, and a language written in a cloud that I couldn't understand. And my job was to warn people this was going to happen. So we did it on your show. I've done it on my own. Then the second one I had was this people nobody wanted to touch in the streets in Russia. And that's where I think this would be radioactivity, which means that the possibility of that nuclear reactor going off in the northern part of Ukraine, which is pretty close to the Russian border,
or nuclear missiles, tactical nuclear missiles being used, either NATO missiles or Russian missiles.
Well, I saw a big cement building, like a gigantic structure in the background. I shouldn't say building. It went off, so I would say that. But the idea is that's still a possibility. Everybody's praying like heck, and I encourage everybody to pray that this does not happen. We've had the death of the Pope, which is a biblical prediction that when the Pope dies, something else is supposed to happen. Well, it wasn't Pope Francis, it was Pope Benedict. And so all these signs are here. And in the Bible, it talks about heavenly signs before or during the end times. Well, we've got the biggest rocket ship ever built out going around the moon as farther than the moon, farther any rocket ship has ever gone. Right now, we have several vehicles roaming around Mars, plus we've got a helicopter up there on Mars. And we have these celestial signs of planets, this something coming at us from a far distance that people are not sure what it is. We are talking constantly about the different appearances of heavenly bodies and it's out there. And I'm not being specific because I'm talking fast, but these signs are out there and it's all been recorded in the good book. If you look for it, it's there. And that's why for all these years, you and I have been talking, and I started my career in 1974, giving up my newspaper career to go and do my spiritual work, that now I'm feeling nervous. There's going to be, across America, there's going to be seven disasters, one after the other, soon. Jesus has appeared to somebody else I know and was holding an implement and saying something, this is a test that's going to go across the land. And oh my God, this is the time everybody should be prepared. So that's why I'm starting this conference in Texas and going to different places. Once a month, we'll be in a different place. That's the plan anyway, because we're trying to prepare people for what's coming. And we've been doing that on your show and on different places, talking about shortages. Whether people believe me or not, whatever comes, I give it out there. And I've been amazingly accurate in forecasting these events. And I don't do this for money, but we do this for warning of people and getting them prepared. And people are all over the world. And that's why people invited me to faraway countries, because what I do is, what I do, and they want to hear from me. But also do this understanding of preparing people spiritually and getting them to believe. That's the test. Everybody has to believe in one God, apparently. Doesn't matter whatever your particular method of or your religious views are. You believe in one God. And the second thing is more believers than disbelievers have to rally, so to speak. I know that sounds kind of silly, but that's the test. And that's how the Hopi Indians prophecy can come true. There's still hope for us. And what it is to believe. And when you believe in a supreme being, you also believe in the existence of the soul, that the soul and your death experiences have taught us that. The soul has a consciousness and self-awareness after a physical death. And so if you start to put those two things together, then it makes sense we should try to get along with one another, that we're all one, and we should be looking out for each other. And if we do that, then what's going to happen is we're going to pass the test. Otherwise, I'm afraid there's going to be terrible loss of life. Terrible, terrible loss of life.
Okay, we'll come back to Russia and Ukraine in a moment. I was going to go there next, but then you mentioned seven cataclysmic events that are going to occur in the United States. You said America. Does that include Canada or just the
America,
United States?
North America, but mostly the U.S., yes.
Okay, what are you seeing? Walk us through these seven if you can.
Let's just say they're going to be giant storms or something like that. They're going to come from the northwest to the southeast, or they're going to come south. This blizzard we had a little while ago, where these frigid temperatures came from the Arctic, it was an open gate, across Alaska and the Yukon, straight down towards the southwest, or southeast, to the deep south. Everybody was feeling it. Can you imagine, when was it in recent memory that places in Texas and Florida would freeze up, that the pipes would burst in their house? Well, it happened in Texas a year or two, a snowstorm coming, nobody knew how to drive. The pipes were bursting, it happened again. Now, what happens if we have some super sort of cyclone kind of tornadoes, weather bringing this cold air down? It's gonna be disastrous across the land. These are weather, not tornado, not volcanoes, but seven big storms.
So seven big storms specifically. And yeah. What are we talking here in terms of timing, in terms of damage, loss of life?
Yeah, within the next 2 years. Okay, that's going to happen. Could happen this year, could happen next year. But I'm also, bracketing 2023 to 2029 is a testing or teaching time. In your case, you talked about this. It was supposed to happen in 68 to 98. Well, I believe it's now going to happen in this 8-year period.
Well, 23 to 29, that's 6-7 years. That's basically the tribulation, isn't it? That's supposed to last 7 years, the tribulation. Is that what we're entering into, the tribulation? And then the halfway point supposedly arrives the Antichrist.
Yeah, I think we're already in a year or two already. So that's why I said it's a year period. But yes, exactly right. That's it. You nailed it.
So seven storms, major weather events, one after the other, sweeping across the America, coming from the northwest to the southeast. Can you just give us an indication of like how cataclysmic are they going to be in terms of damage, loss of life?
Yeah, well, and you know, because these are like short visions, it's not like reading a newspaper in detail. These are going to come. I have a friend in Texas who had a vision of this, and he's in a business where people business, and that was going to cut off supplies. So we're going to see trucks won't be able to go north. There'll be railway and other transportation disasters, or shall we say shutdowns. The internet will probably be shut down during one or most of these. There's going to be loss of life because people are going to be caught unawares. There's going to be shortages. And then if the power grid goes down, and unbelievably, America's got the oldest power grid they could possibly have. It's like a disgrace. They should have the best, right? So those are the catch. What do I call it? I was going to say catchphrase, but those are the catches that are going to allow this disaster to go on. Right now in my mind, I can see a blanket of white and ice as far as I can see. So there's going to be America in a deep freeze, but they're going to keep coming. What if you had seven tornadoes one after the other, or seven cyclones? And that's already happened in the Caribbean. We've had one tornado after another, or whatever they would like to call those storms,
hurricanes.
And so why can't it happen from the north to the south? It's going to happen. And then when the north is going to bring, you know, minus 50 degrees Celsius temperatures in the Arctic coming down, it's going to take a long time to warm up, you know, get that from 50, minus 50 to back to zero, which would be a heat wave, I guess. But the point being is that these are going to come one after the other, plus all the economic problems that are happening. So I'm not trying to scare people. I'm trying to prepare them. And I've been pretty accurate in saying these other things are happening. But now it's like I have a tunnel closing, closing, closing. And so to help each other to believe, and as we believe, as we pray, as we ask God Almighty to intervene, these storms can be mitigated. They can be, remember the story in the Bible where Jesus stood up on the boat and he was having a rest, and all of a sudden the storms woke him up, and he stood up, he put his hand in the air, and he said, you know, to the wind stop, and to the waves stop, and immediately they stopped. Well, that's a nice Sunday school story. And when I was in Sunday school, I thought that was neat. I didn't know how it could happen. But whatever he did as the man who became the Christ, he has said, promised, and repeated many times, we can do the same, which means we as human beings have some effect over the storms, the weather, and our planet. And what's going on with the controversy and the separation and the hatred and the suspicion and the conspiracies and the people are being caught taking advantage of the public trust. That's why we're having these problems. So the reverse is true. If we can come together rather than hating each other, being suspicious of each other, taking advantage of each other, then we might be able to mitigate these storms. And so instead of a big ice freeze, we're going to have just a rainstorm. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Douglas, I was just going to say, we'll come back in a moment, and then I want to move on to the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. What will happen in 2023? Douglas James Cottrell, my guest. Stay with us, back with more right here on Strange Planet. Hi there. I want to tell you about a podcast I know you're going to love. It's called The Dead Files from Travel Channel. On The Dead Files, Amy Allen and Steve DeShavi investigate the paranormal activity haunting real people and homes across the United States. Amy and Steve come from totally different perspectives when they investigate. Amy's a medium. She sees and speaks to dead people and uses this skill to find out why someone might be haunting a place. Steve is a retired homicide detective. He tackles the case from the other end of the spectrum and uses public records and witness accounts to piece together the history of the haunted location. On every episode, Steve and Amy investigate a different, real haunting to help the family struggling with its effects. On one episode in Falconer, New York, a family keeps waking up with scratches and bruises. They also see a shadow figure lurking around their home. They call Amy and Steve to investigate. Amy uses her strength as a medium to understand who the presence is coming from and why it's so angry. Separately, Steve finds out the history of the house from the townspeople and in public records. He finds that several people who lived in this house died, which matches Amy's findings. At the end of the episode, Steve and Amy share their findings and make a recommendation on whether it's safe to stay in the house or time to get out. There are so many crazy stories on the Dead Files, and what's interesting about Amy and Steve is that they investigate the hauntings from two totally different perspectives. You listen to my podcast because you love tales of the paranormal, but if you want more, listen to The Dead Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Douglas James Cottrell, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is with us, spiritual healer, teacher, remote viewer, published author, and the website again, douglasjamescottrell.com. Just click on the link in the episode notes, and just reminding you that if you go to the website, you'll see the banner ad there for his Hope Conference happening this year in February, just a month away, Feb 3rd to the 5th, down in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, a weekend conference, and the registration is now open. All right, we're doing predictions for 2023. So, this war in Russia, or between Russia and Ukraine, that actually started about a month and 2 weeks from now, the end of February, I think many people assumed that it was going to be a fairly short war. I don't know that there were too many of us imagined it would still be dragging on. Here we are a year later. What do you see happening in that conflict in 2023, Douglas?
Well, you asked me that on the show just after it started, and you said, when do I see it ending? And I said, I don't. And so here we are. Russia's in deep financial difficulty. The whole world is ganging up on Russia. We have a quiet, the world against Russia conflict going on right now. Ukraine has been able to survive because of the weapon supplies from the various countries. Don't need to name them. And they have these shoulder-mounted weapons that can take down helicopters, jet planes, and tanks. One soldier, one weapon, boom. Gigantic equipment is destroyed. Plus huge numbers of life. The Russians have been acting in a monstrous way in some of the crimes against humanity that they've done. So that's not going to pave the way to an easy resolve. However, at this point in time, right now, Putin is in a tenuous situation. His political survival is in jeopardy. Some of the oligarch and those suspicious deaths with some billionaires have been jumping out of windows. I think there's up to 14 of them or something like that now. That's how I suspect the Russian war has been financed, if you know what I mean. So what do I see for that? I still have this looming possibility of this nuclear disaster happening. I don't see, although... I could see Ukraine ready to sit down and you know, make amends and forgive and forget, but I don't see Putin ready to do it. I can see him pacing back and forth. So he's really worried. So what's going to happen? The same. What we're going on now, this is going to drag out. Everybody's afraid of the U.S. The uncertainty, what's going on in the government there is scaring everybody. And the more there's this intention to do investigations into Ukraine, the more uneasy that's going to be for the rest of the, you know, the rest of the world is going to feel, but the more strength and vigor that's going to give to President Putin. With all due respect, you know, making Ukraine part of NATO is like putting cannons on the border of Russia, the same as when in Kennedy years, President Kennedy, the Russians wanted to put missiles in Cuba. And there was the Monroe Act stopped that, and we almost came to nuclear war then. Here is the same scenario, only now we're on the border of Russia. So I don't have any sympathy for Mr. Putin, but I can understand his perspective and how he's getting more money and keeping the people reinforced because, you know, America's going to invade us kind of thing. So that's going to continue on. And, you know, to answer the question shortly, I don't see any changes at all. I don't see any way out of this. But if Ukraine becomes part of NATO, which it seems like they might be, that's going to really heat up on the Russian side, the fear that you know, they're going to be invaded or America's coming after Russia or other countries.
I was reading the other day, there was a Ukrainian, I don't know if we're to believe this or not, because let's face it, there's propaganda flying around on both sides. But there was a Ukrainian intelligence analyst who was saying that based on his intel, Vladimir Putin has a terminal disease. And others have speculated about this, looking at videos and the way he walks and the way he looks and so forth. I don't know if this is true, but if it is true, the speculation is that he'll be out of the picture, perhaps within the year, and that will lead to some sort of a power struggle. Do you see anything happening there? How is Putin's health? I mean, do you have any?
I was just looking in my mind, I was just looking at what you're saying. I think you're right. I think he's got something in his head, like a tumor or an aneurysm or something like that. But as I saw him walking back and forth like this, he is one paranoid man. That's why he doesn't let anybody in the same room, or if they sit, they have to sit way down at the far end of the conference table. But I can see in his mind, there's some blackness right behind. I'm putting on my forehead here, but right back behind the eyes, I can see a black mass. So I'm going to agree there's something going on there, probably an aneurysm. And the power struggle will be more than likely, that would be the best way out for Russia, is to have Mr. Putin eliminated. And now I'm talking like a military guy. I'm saying if he were gone, then it would be, let's say, possible for the two sides to stand down, put it that way. So yes, I see, I would agree with that. Something's going on with him, whether it's a mentally deranged mind, whether it's an aneurysm, there's something behind his eyes, I can see a black mass. I don't know if it's a disease or if it's a malfunction, like an aneurysm, or maybe it could be a tumor, but I don't usually see tumors white, and I don't see this as white. Yeah.
All right, so here we are in January. Typically, we're looking at Ukraine as one of the world's big breadbaskets. If this war continues right through until the spring, and it sounds like it's going to, that means once again, you know, no crops will be planted, no wheat.
And famine will ensue, yes.
So yeah. Talk to me a little bit about that. How bad is it going to get?
Well, I've said on the show before, that Europe is going to depend on us, meaning the West, for food. Ukraine was the breadbasket. Ethiopia is another breadbasket for the world. And it seems like humans are so silly. We have these places to produce food and we destroy them. Or people get involved and manipulate them, black market, whatever. But I just shake my head and I go, how can this be? How can people be so mean and nasty and evil to stop the provision of food? So in the Ukraine, I can see fields with some, like a row of grain or grass, and I can see barren, that I can see a row. So I'm going to say the crops will be like a third to a half of what they should be. So that answers the question. It's not going to be good.
Food. Okay. So how we have, you know, we have our own bread basket here in the prairie provinces. Do you foresee any food shortages in Canada, the United States? Because you mentioned those weather events that are going to happen. So that's quite apart from the Russian-Ukraine conflict, but those obviously would have huge disruptive capabilities in terms of power or in terms of food supply chains?
Right. Well, there's two issues. One is the planting of crops and the harvesting of them, and the other is taking the harvest and delivering it. And shipping is going to be a major problem. We've said before, and there's been shortages. Remember, the containers were all piled up on the West Coast. I mentioned on your show, I said, I see shortages of T-shirts and jeans and things. Well, that was telling us that the products from Japan weren't going to be delivered or distributed. That's what's going to happen. Watch out for the delivery. There'll be shortages. Look at Tylenol or medication for little kitties. Bare shelves? How can that be? People in need of medication or other things, just ordinary medicines. And there's no stock up. There's no like have enough for 6 months. They go to the store every week or every 2 weeks, buy their medication. Well, now let's get out to the store and have 6 months or a year's worth of supply. I'm not trying to say I don't own any stock in any of these things, by the way. Let's not say rush out and get stuff, but let's be practical. If you need something on a regular basis, even if it's toothpaste, buy six at a time, have some extra. It always used to be that way. In my grandparents' day, there was always a root cellar. There were always preserves in the basement on the shelves. There was always something, you know, sausages or whatever, for 6 months or so, or a few months. That's the way we need to get back in. This on-demand, go get it, I need it now. You don't even have to leave your house and people will bring stuff right to your door. Anything, just about, you know, depending on size, of course. So we need to get back to that practicality. So what's going to happen? I think we're going to have shortages, disruptions, whether it's weather caused, whether it's fuel prices, which the prices have gone up to $6 and come back down, as we mentioned on the show. Inflation is coming. Interest rates are going up. If you're thinking about buy a house, I'm not a realtor, I'm not a financial advisor, but now would be the time to buy because nobody's really interested in buying a house. Go get the house, provided you can pay the payments. Because the prices of houses will go back up. But for the short term, when people don't want something, that's the time to buy it. And that's the time now to stock up. So in Canada, we're fine. We're going to have more water. We're kind of, because we're the peacemakers in the world, we're going to do okay. Out west, the oil patch is going to go through some difficulties. There's some wrangling. I could see two fish rustling over the oil patch. And I can see the West Coast with big waves coming in through Vancouver and crashing into the mountains. So the West Coast is going to be a little under the weather, underwater, storms coming in that way. East Coast, the same. I can see the water just coming up like that in around Newfoundland and the Maritimes. So we're going to be flooding on both coasts, but the West Coast is going to be worse. But here in Ontario or the mid area, including Quebec, we're going to be okay. But watch out for the politics.
Sticking with Canada, some people are speculating a spring election, federal spring election, Trudeau facing off against Poilievre. Your thoughts?
I haven't seen any election. I'm losing faith in our political system. And I see that NDP and the Liberals really kind of two-fists, shaking hands. So I think you can expect more deals to avoid a spring election.
So Jagmeet Singh is going to continue and the NDP to prop up the Liberal Party so that they'll see no need to call an election.
The reason I'm smiling is the image I have as you're talking is I have Mr. Singh getting bigger and Mr. Trudeau getting smaller. So I'm going to take that the NDP is going to be much more or more powerful, bigger, more presence. But just as you were talking, that was the image that was on my mind. So maybe the other way around. Maybe Liberals are going to prop up the NDP.
Right. So no spring election. Any election in 2023 federally?
I haven't really put my mind out there, but I can see little waves going here. So I'm going to say there's some minor elections going somewhere. I haven't really addressed that. And I'm just
I mean no federal election period in 2023 is what I'm saying.
Not across the land. I don't think so. No.
Okay, we'll take another timeout, Douglas, back with more of our predictions for 2023. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. We're now crossing a zone of turbulence. Please return your seats and food trays to their upright position and make sure your carry-on luggage is safely stowed. You're about to leave everything you know behind. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Strange Planet.
Canada's Edgar Casey, the man with X-ray eyes, Douglas James Cottrell. DouglasJamesCottrell.com is the website. Again, check out the website. The HOPE Conference 2023 happening Feb 3rd to the 5th in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. It's a weekend conference with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Registration is now open. All right, you were mentioning supply chains, and we were talking about pain medication, most of which, is produced in China. And we're seeing signs that COVID is just running rampant in China again. They had this horrific zero COVID policy where people were locked in their homes. People were, apartment buildings were catching on fire. People were burned alive, children. It was a horrific situation. People started to rebel. President Xi, I think wisely, decided to back off that zero COVID policy. But now we're hearing reports that there are so many COVID deaths that mortuaries can't keep up, crematoriums can't keep up. They're burning people in the streets, out in the country. What's happening in China? What do you see happening in 2023?
Well, that coincidentally comes to a vision I had just a little while ago, a week or two ago, in which I saw huge like rebar metal used as cages, you know, 8 feet by 8 feet by 8 feet, sort of. And they were in a pit. And in the vision, I saw them being hoisted up. And as these cages were hoisted up, they were empty, but they were full of ashes. And I could see ashes falling out the back. And in the dream, I thought, human remains, human ashes. And I woke up from that. I said, what the heck is that all about? Well, putting it together, and just as you said, there is going to be such horrendous loss of life that these are going to be open fire pits, and they're going to stack the bodies in these metal cages as they collect them from wherever, and they go and they hoist them into these fire pits, and oh my God, cremate all these hundreds of people at the same time. Working backwards from that, because sometimes you get a snapshot of an image and then you extrapolate from that how it comes about. What you just said is that the death toll in China is going to be worse in certain areas. I don't see it all over. I see it concentrated areas like black spots on a map. So I see four or five or six, but further away out in the country or further away from the concentrated places towards the south and the southeast, they're not so bad. China, on the other hand, is being remarkable at their technological achievements, building bridges, putting in highways across the country. It's just been enormously successful in the last, say, 5 or 10 years. But this situation, I likewise was watching the reports and seeing locking people into their apartment buildings from the outside with whoever, any person with any kind of public responsibility knows, first fire, then water, then damage, and then, of course, disease, and, of course, feeding people. And to lock people in their apartments, that was just monstrous and low-caliber thinking, which came to the inevitable results of people being burnt alive in their homes. So naturally, the outrage has made the government, relent in their situation. And that's probably Mr. Singh coming a call right now. Comment from China just a bit. So this is happening all over the world. It's in the Middle East when a lady wasn't wearing a scarf and she got beat up and had her head bashed in. And now there are other people courageously going out with the morality police, and trying to stop this horrendous, stupid, vicious, mean thinking. This is the test. Those people that are nasty are provoking these disasters, and we have to stand up as one in sort of this humane, loving way and convince these people who are in authority over us not to be so silly or stupid, et cetera. Now, getting back to the question, I think it's going to continue, but I can see also light at the end of the tunnel. A lot of people are going to perish, and I see a lot of officials dressed in Chinese outfits being beheaded. So I'm going to see a lot of public executions over this. That's one way to restore faith in the central government. That just came to my mind as I was talking to you.
So President Xi is going to, I guess, choose some scapegoats, maybe public officials, and say, you're to blame, and you're to blame. Off go their heads in order to placate the Chinese people.
And maybe it's not just scapegoats. Maybe it's real, you know, monstrous people who are responsible for this.
Right.
So, but I can see that. I can see head chopping or decapitation. And then extrapolating from that, what we were just talking about, that this is a way out. Because whoever started this, whoever did this, remember in Wuhan, I predicted this, that that's where the COVID came from. I predicted that it was small animals escaping from a laboratory. And that turned out to be correct, or at least it seems to be correct. And so what was done then, the local officials, the doctor that brought this, the researcher that brought this to the attention of local officials, he was locked up and he died of the COVID himself because they didn't want the word to get out. They want to save face. That same ancient mentality, remember the people, if you look in the Chinese Congress, so I can call it that, or their meeting hall, most of the people are my age. They're not young people. And so they're thinking two and three generations back. And what's going on now is the younger generation with the internet and the spirit that's in these people born in the last 20 years, they're not going to take this anymore. And so the whole country has to shift. And I guess I'm getting away from the question, but the point being is what's going to happen there? That vision I had with the cages and the human remains is going to be the answer to that. Thousands of people are going to die. And then somewhere...
Do you see a reoccurrence of the COVID restrictions here in Canada or in the United States, masking, lockdowns, school closures, vaccine mandates, travel restrictions?
I haven't seen that. Yeah. No, I haven't seen that. We went that way. It was like AIDS, you know, and like other diseases we've had in the past. The first the scare comes up, then we get accustomed to it, then we know how to handle it, then we tolerate it, and then remedies or cures come out for it. And or there's still people out there with AIDS now. But when it first came out, I remember if somebody had AIDS, people were just panicked. They wouldn't come near them. No, it's got AIDS. Oh, okay. How are you? Shake hands. No problem. So that's the same thing. I don't see that reoccurring here or even across the world because it's the travel industry, the amount of loss otherwise has been enormous, worse than the mandate. However, at the time it was necessary to mask up. I wear a mask now. I don't all the time, but if I go in someplace like to go to say a Costco or something, I might slip a mask on. I might not. But I'm more concerned now with the flu season plus this other respiratory disorders, which I think I predicted on your show that the children were going to be next. There was going to be something like COVID coming after the kids. Somebody I know had a vision of monsters coming down the chimney and getting after the kids. And so here we are. Respiratory disorders and children are prominent all over. What's going to happen there? Well, more research into how to prevent this, because that's the benefit of COVID. All this money was collected for research, and there is now the positive aspects, because whenever something comes, there's always a negative and a positive. The positive aspects of all this research is they're finding out more about Alzheimer's, more about cancers and disease and bacteria. There's a big difference between a virus and bacteria. And there's a big difference between the effects of Alzheimer's and cancer. But the research is focused that way.
Well, that leads to a good area of discussion. And we didn't necessarily, I didn't prepare you for this, but since you brought it up, do you see any medical breakthroughs happening in 2023?
Yes. As far as we're going out to space, I mean, this thing to space is just enormously successful. This is amazing. And everybody else going, yeah, we're going to Mars. Yeah, we're going to have a gas station on the moon. Yeah, we're going to have some colonizing there. Well, years ago when I was talking about this, where people were living on the dark side of a planet because it was too hot to live on the light side, it didn't dawn on me this was the moon. I thought it was some faraway planet. And guess what? There's lots of moons that have ice and water, not planets, but moons around planets that are just like Earth. And now there's more research thinking there was a civilization on Mars, as this might be the early stages. So all of a sudden, holy moly, you know, what happened in Mars? Did the Martians blow themselves up and move to Earth? some speculation on that. But the point being is all these amazing things are happening all the time. Yes, there'll be more breakthroughs with anti-magnetic stuff, levitation. We already have now where we have static electricity, copper coils and magnets making electricity from static things. We're discovering this electricity in the air.
I was mentioning, maybe you didn't hear me. I said any medical breakthroughs, though, since we were talking.
I'm just letting my mind go here. But yeah, medical things, I think we're going to accelerate healing. We're going to make what I'm seeing right now is tumors go poof, you know, just like they have those, when you have kidney stones or gallbladder stones, they would send sonic waves and they go poof. That's going to happen to cancers. More research along this idea of a tumor being starved for blood, cauterizing the blood delivery in the tumor is just going to turn acidic. Like I can see it like a pumpkin after it's used, it's just going to implode. Yeah. And again, the basic discoveries will be on the subatomic world, disease, power sources. Look at just what a couple weeks ago, fusion. That's amazing. I predicted that 20 years ago. And here we are, fusion, where we're going to have a size of a battery in your house that will give you the power of the sun in your house. That's amazing. And that's going to continue like crazy, provided, you know, what can we say? I don't say big pharma, but it provided somebody lets it happen. Because that's a source of, when you have fusion, it's a source of energy that is perpetual. It doesn't consume itself. Think about that. So if that's allowed to manifest, this will be amazing for the planet. But I can see all in the subatomic world. But anyhow, I can also see disorders, blood cancer is going to, I'll bet you there will be announcements soon about eradicating blood cancer. I can see that.
Interesting.
That was I'm talking to you on the show.
Right. Speaking or just turning to economics, while time permits, what do you see happening in terms of inflation, in terms of a recession? Is it going to deepen in 2023? Do you see any inflationary relief this year?
No, inflation's on the way up. Interest rates are on the way up. A little bit of it is gouging. Remember, it's not the president or the prime minister or what. The real price increases in the commodities. That's where the people buy and sell commodities, speculators. If you want to know where the real price setting it happens, look at the commodities. The price of lumber went on the commodities straight up, and the retail stores, the price went up. Chicken the other day was, there was a text going out, the chicken was like $8 or $27 a kilo.
$35 for 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
$35. So you're seeing inflation intensify?
Yeah. And it's gouging, okay? And then, of course, more sabotage in the marketplace, or, you know, more diseases and crops and things like that. You're going to hear stories about that, and price is going to go up. My friend Joe Eichenhofer, I'll throw his name out there, he's long passed. He told me in 1970-something, 8 or 9, that in the future will come the price of a lettuce will be $5. It was like 29 cents at the time. So we're going to see more of that, and to get back to the inflation is increasing. Possibility of, I see a slide as far as the economy goes, the price of the stock market having some setbacks this year, 23 is possible, highly probable. Buying opportunities for those people who are in other things than gold and silver. I predicted on your show that crypto was in a bubble and it went from 60,000 down to 16,000 or something. I've never touched crypto. A lot of people of my clients have made a ton of money in it just because they don't have, it's not a real currency as far as I'm concerned personally. And so you're going to see some crypto coming back and some governments are already adapting it. That's still out there. Gold and silver, my old favorites, probably gold's over $1,800 today. It'll probably continue.
Specifically, though, with gold, because I'm a bit of a gold bug myself. Where do you see that going?
It's long overdue to get up. It got up to $1,800 not too long ago, which I had predicted. And I'm saying $2,400. If it breaks through that, it'll go higher. But right now we're at 1800 and we're talking casually. Yeah, 1800. I remember when it was $700. I remember when it was $350. And to say it was going to make $1,000, that was headline news in the newspapers. And now you and I are talking $1800 US. And I was like, yeah, I got over that today.
You're seeing 2400 by the end of the year? Possibly.
No, I've seen it up to 24. I'm not sure what that's going to be. But if I had a vision where I heard a voice saying, gold will go up when it's allowed to go up. So that means it's artificially being suppressed. So when the powers be get greedy enough, they'll let the price go up. But certainly any kind of war back in the late 70s and the mid-80s, the price of gold would have went up. If, even just to mention it, it would jump up $100. And now we have things going on with war and all these catastrophes. And it's just going along because something happened with the interest rate. Gold went up today, or so I read. So the economy is going to be bittersweet. In Canada, we're safe, but for heaven's sakes, be prepared. Take a few $100 out of your bank account, put it in a shoe, put it under your pillow, because you don't want to have happen to you what happened a little while ago when Rogers went out. You couldn't buy gas. You couldn't buy a sandwich. The banks were shut down. And I had been predicting again on your show and my own that there was going to be this outage. So economically speaking, we're okay here. Expect more inflationary things, buying opportunities for some things, anything that has to do affect with increasing value with inflation. Those are the things to buy. But have some storage. Be prepared for shortages because that's the way of the world. And get to what you were talking about before about manufacturing issues. I had a vision in the future where every city will have its own manufacturing. It was like islands of manufacturing, and they were dealing with one another, and there was something flying through the air that was communicating. It wasn't a train or anything. It was some communication or trucking going through the air and the center to center. So that's where we're headed. Everybody dependent on local stuff. Buy local, support local. The reason we got in trouble, if I can step back in time, I was always against these big corporations going to China back when it was an agricultural society, and they were going there enriching themselves, getting people to work all week for the price they would pay an American for 1 hour's work. It was outrageous, but that's what business is all about, my friends. Business is not to do us favors. Business is to enrich the people that own the business.
Well, that was globalism, and now we seem to be heading in the other direction, as you say, more local.
Out of necessity.
Yeah.
You once said on your show, or he asked me, can't we get our own cotton and make our own t-shirts? And I said, are you kidding? You know how much money it would take to buy the equipment and to make the investment. Now, that's not such a bad idea because the market is established. And if we can't get supply from someplace else, then the people, the entrepreneurs will buy that equipment and make our own t-shirts and clothes. But you were kind of right on that way back then. Why can't we? Well, we need a market. If China won't supply, we have a market. And some smart soul will, you know, who's making shoes will all of a sudden start making jeans and all of a sudden start making, you know, all kinds of coats. But anyway, that's just that's my comment. But that's going to happen. Not this year, but it's coming. And then we shouldn't forget the chaos in the Republican Party that's going on. Mr. McCarthy's up to 13 negative votes that he's lost, but he's a hair away from winning. He needs, I guess, four more votes to win. That may happen today. He is going to be the Speaker of the House. It's just a matter of
They already set him up in the Speaker's office, which was very suspicious. The fix was in on that one from the get-go.
My friends, when you hear anything with the Republicans, and if I was an American, I'd be a Republican more than likely. But when you hear anything about the Republicans, there's a plan. And the plan is to enrich themselves. All the politics, from my humble view, and I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not independent. My view is that there has been this governing by restriction or governing by being obstinate. It's not governing. And these politicians, whenever you hear about it, they're making fortunes in fundraising to the people that are really angry, justifiably.
Now, that's what these 20 are standing up against, I believe. And McCarthy is representative of that donor class, along with Pelosi. At that level, the Republicans and the Democrats are the same party. I think more and more Americans are waking up to that. They're fed up with the Republicans, or the rhinos, as they call them. They're fed up with the Democrats. Do you think we'll see the, I mean, we already have, you know, they call them the MAGA Republicans, but do you think we'll see the formation of a legitimate, like a third party finally in the United States?
But you brought it up on your show. Once again, I said the independents are going to come up the middle. In Arizona, more people were registered as independent voters than either of the red or blue parties for the first time ever. I know I have associates in Arizona. And so I once text Bernie Sanders humorously said, President Bernie, independent. This was, I think, before President Biden was inaugurated. But I was being humorous. But that's based on that dream. So a third party is going to be independents, because you're right. American people, ordinary people like you and I, they're smart. They want a life. They want their children to do better than they. They don't want to be told by media that, look out, the bad guys are coming after you and your kids. They don't believe that anymore. It's like, who has intelligence? Who's going to govern? Not by obstinance or by obstruction or by, you know, personal feuds. People are getting fed up with that. What happened on this day 2 years ago is an example of that frustration that caused that insurgency. Wrong though it was, that was a demonstration of just how discontented people were being. So get behind people who are smart, get them in office, whether they're independents or if you go independently, I guess you can vote whatever way you want. I don't know too much about the political situation. I'm not in it, but I mean, I understand party concept. So that's where America's going to go. But right now, look out. This is the perfect time for attack. If China or North Korea or somebody wanted to bomb America, this is the perfect time. The government is right now inept. The House of Representatives is not even sitting in session. They can't do anything. They have people waiting to be sworn in. They have no legal means right now today. So this is the time, look out for attack. I don't think it's going to happen, but I want people to be aware of how serious this is. But getting back to your point, you're absolutely right, Richard. There is going to be a development of a bunch of people across the country. They're going to say, we're fed up, and we're going to put people in office who are willing to govern. The billionaires came up, they showed up, they tried to get in, and they were basically, you know, voted out. They didn't get a chance because I guess they're billionaires or they had self-interest. I don't know. The ordinary people like us, but sitting on the sidelines, this is motivating them. People are fed up with their kids getting shot in school. They're fed up with the mandates and the mask and the inept expenditures on the COVID. They're fed up with the inconsistency where you have people doing bad things to immigrants. You have people who are doing things for political gain. And I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm on my soapbox here. I'm not running for office. But the people who are there, the ordinary people, they're going to now be motivated. You know, the old saying is, when things change, when good people finally get fed up, here we are. That's what's going to happen. And now this is a time, same thing with the demonstrations in the Arab world, where people, the morality police are being taken on, the things, things in China where the COVID lockup police are being, you know, are going, are being held accountable, and across our land too. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, but I just see such a changing time. But the one thing we all have to do is believe in God. These times were predicted. They were in the biblical times, put in the good book. Nostradamus, other people have been predicting these things. And so if it's been predicted, then this is supposed to be a time to go through, a time that we have to go through. And the one thing is, this is a test. Believe in God. Doesn't matter how you believe in God, but you believe in an all-powerful being, a creator, then nothing is impossible for God. We are the makers of our own mishaps because we hate each other, because we harm each other, because we commit huge inhumanity. I mean, this thing in Russia is just evil. It's bombing schools and buildings and things like that, in my opinion. So as an example, if we can come together, like we're going to do at my conference in Texas, and we are going to get Christianity for the 21st century, which is the teaching of the Christ consciousness, the teaching of the abilities that we are told are spiritual gifts, it will be able to get people to talk and maybe even to like one another and maybe even to love one another and be able to see some common ground. But this is what Christianity is all about, the compassion of the Christ. Hopefully, I'll have a small voice in that. But the long and short is, this is something that's going to be obvious to everybody. We have to get out of this this end times or these times of great dismay.
There you go. A big test coming in 2023. And just like the exams you wrote in high school, make sure you're prepared. Don't wait till the last hour and then try and cram. It's too late. Start preparing now for the big test.
That's well said.
DouglasJamesCottrell.com, the website. Again, registration now open for the HOPE Conference 2023, Feb 3rd to the 5th in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, a weekend conference with Douglas. Douglas, always a delight. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
My pleasure. Best to you and your family.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.